And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You get so many birds in the 12 Days of Christmas that when it comes time for like things like the Golden Rings, it would be such a relief, right? Wrong. They're all birds. These are the Golden Rings. It's a type of pheasant. You're going to get five of these on like every day it said. The Lords are leaping. They're birds. The Pipers Piping are not musicians. They are birds. The ladies aren't actually dancing because they are birds. And you guessed it, the drummers drumming are, in fact, birds. And babe, he's giving you those birds every single day. In total, you will get 184 birds. And of course, 12 pear trees, which is technically considered a mini orchard. Merry Christmas, your man is a nightmare.
Good morning! Sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. Tuesday, December 5th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast lovers and hopefully bird lovers, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. Comment away. And I've got the perfect stocking stuffer for you. It's a No Dunks mug. Mm. Oh, you imagine reaching into that oversized sock and feeling a little ceramic on your fingernails at the bottom? Maybe there's a little orange in it even. Sounds or a chocolate bad. Stuffed inside.
Just don't drop the stock.
No, be careful. Mm. What I'm telling you to do is go to nodunks.com and get yourself, or really someone in your life, a No Dunks mug for the holidays. Look, they come in two sizes, a lot of these, and the big size, I'm going to say it now, perfect for a cup of cocoa. Right? Because
yeah. Yes. Marshmallows. Yes,
marshmallows, exactly. Nice amount of liquid. So go check it out.
Great liquid to marshmallow ratio.
Anyway, nodunks.com. That link is in the show notes. Take advantage of that. All right. We're talking about the in-season tournament. Everybody's loving this thing. Yeah. What a hit. We had some fun games last night. Let's go through them. Then we'll look at the trophies later in the show. I got some questions, sort of big picture questions about the IST. But let's start with Tyrese Halliburton, Tass. His first career triple-double. What? Helps the Pacers beat the Celtics. Boston's out of here. Indiana moves on to Vegas. What'd you think?
I didn't know what to expect. You know, this is our first elimination game of this tournament. Yeah. Obviously, the NBA has done a really good job at making this in-season tournament a thing. A tentpole event. People getting us excited to watch basketball in November. And we have been, because players have been up for these games. But then to go to Indiana here, I just didn't know what to expect. You had the crowd buzzing, though. Mm-hmm. The crowd had their towels on each of their chairs in that stadium, ready to go. They were booing the Celtics from the pregame to Jason Tatum being at the free throw line. So it was exciting. And then, at halftime, Tyrese Halliburton, who was suffering from a respiratory infection, he was out. He was out Saturday's game, had to take an inhaler,
yeah.
And then in the third quarter,
puffed it up.
He puffed just to feel better. And then in the third quarter, getting him to that triple-double, because he took over 12 points, 5 assists in just that quarter. And then he played the entire fourth quarter. And it's not like he had to take over with the points, but he was just the guy with 6 assists and 7 points there in that fourth quarter that he played every single minute. He didn't have a stinking turnover in this game, which is remarkable, and he just kind of sealed it at the end with a minute 45 left, that 3 in Jalen Brown's face, who fouled him, the 4-point play, then he set up Buddy Hield for another 3. So this being a national TV game, this guy wanting to be a star, wanting to have all the highlights and all the cameras on him, He showed up at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Pretty cool start for the elimination round.
It was. I mean, it felt like a coming out party for the Pacers and really Tyrese Halliburton on the national stage. And he said, like, the crowd was buzzing. Obviously an entertaining game down the stretch. He made the big plays, took over in the second half, and yeah, the vibes were immaculate here in the IST. It was pretty cool.
I just hate that it's tainted by PEDs. You know, going in at halftime, hitting the inhaler, I don't know. We're going to look back on this and look sideways at Tyrese Halliburton being able to breathe better in the second half. This reminds me of Steph Curry in the NCAA tournament for Davidson. He was like takeover mode in the second half of games, hitting incredible threes, awesome highlights. Like, Halliburton was cooking so much in that third quarter. He had that drive where he like faked Drew Holiday out of his shoes. Drew does a 360 step back three, had another one where he roasts Derek White for the switch hand layup at the rim, scored or assisted on 19 straight for Indiana coming out at halftime, hopped up on that asthma inhaler. It was awesome. The Pacers were doing a great job of setting screens for him really, really far out on the court almost at halftime. The pace that Indiana plays with, coupled with the screens being set that high, just gives him an incredible downhill attacking lanes. But yeah, no turnovers for Tyrese Halliburton, but he almost had one, and it almost cost the Pacers the game because he threw that pass to the corner. Drew Holiday deflects it, 56 seconds left. That's a steal.
Yeah,
but it bounces right out of bounds on the very next inbounds play, the three for Buddy Hield, which was almost the dagger, though maybe you want to consider the Aaron Nesmith dunk the dagger as well. It was just big play after big play after big play for Indiana. That was awesome to watch.
And it sort of did feel like a college game with the bench reactions on all those shots. Mm-hmm. Either Halliburton's four-point play, the huge Buddy Hield three where he got loose off the inbounds play sort of from the corner, or that Nesmith dunk. I'm drunk. But well, you see the reaction from the Pacers bench. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys were like going crazy as if it was like, you know, the Final Four in Indianapolis or something like that. It was awesome.
They wanted to win this game. Yeah. That's for sure. Hopefully Vegas can get the semifinal crowd as a buzzin'. That's the question, the big question.
Yeah,
here.
It is.
They set it up pretty well here for the quarterfinals to be just, frankly, these are regular season games. That's all they are.
But, yeah, but sixth seed right now for the Pacers. Big win.
It is a big win. Well, you got to be a two seed or a one seed because you want the home court. Because being the three seed like the Boston Celtics didn't help. Maybe it helped that the Celtics beat them by 50 points earlier this season, mm-hmm. and the Pacers had them on their radar. But really, it was just Tyrese wanted to play for his crowd that had those yellow towels just a buzzing. It was a game that we wanted to watch. We watched it on playback and. Yeah, thankfully they came out inspired because I wonder how Vegas is going to be at 5 p.m. local. No, no.
5 p.m.
for us.
2 p.m. local time.
Semifinals.
2 p.m. I thought this too, Tass, with like, I was like, ooh, I was starting to think like, sort of wish these semifinals maybe were in the home team's arena just mm-hmm. for like the electricity factor. We'll see what it's like at 2 p.m. on a Thursday in Vegas for Pacers versus Bucks or Knicks.
Yep.
I don't know. I can't imagine it's going to be crazy. We'll see.
I'm surprised. Not a sellout last night.
That's what they said.
Really?
Yeah.
Indiana. 93% of tickets were sold for their attendance. They're like at the bottom of the league
yeah.
for a percentage of attendance. They also have a small arena, but it sounded loud.
Yep.
That's yeah. for sure. And the Eastern Conference teams are trying to sell tickets. It was the Bucks that are selling lower bowl tickets for, what is it, $34 or $40? I have it written down. It's cheap.
Yeah.
So they're
for tonight's game.
Yeah, tonight's yeah. game. They're trying to get an inspired. It didn't feel like 93%. It felt like 100%.
No, they were loud. They made up for it if yeah. there was a few empty seats. This was the third time Halliburton has recorded a 25-point 10-assist game with zero turnovers this season. According to Statitudes, since the NBA began tracking individual turnovers back in 77-78, no player has recorded more such games in a single season. He's got three already. We're like 20 games in. That's really impressive. Like, you can gloss over that and you're like, okay, 25-10. Okay, a lot of people put up big stats. But the zero turnovers for a guy that has the ball in his hands all the time, you're right, got away with one late.
He had
because
one.
That was... I mean, they were still down four, the Celtics, but there was like a minute or so to, I mean, you know, just under a minute to go. If Drew had kept that ball in bounds and maybe the Celtics go up the court, then it's a different outcome possibly. But no, in the end, that Buddy Hield three, yeah, that to me was
that
the
was
one
a killer.
That sort of iced it. And he just let it rip. Pacers were out-rebounded 56-41 in this game, and they still win. How? Took care of the Rock, only six turnovers mm-hmm. to Boston 17, and then they shot the lights out. They hit nearly 50% from three on 40 attempts, 19 for 40. This is a, you know, I guess what you love, or maybe if you're a Celtics fan or other, or some other people, hate about a one game knockout situation, right? It's like, you're hot from three, take care of the ball. Your chances of winning are pretty good. If they were to play a seven game series, I think most people still think probably the Celtics come out on top eventually, but that's what's fun about the one game, even if it's this little weird tournament we're trying out here.
This is the concern, though, for Boston, is that they got into a shootout with the Pacers when the Celtics should be able to score inside. They should be more concerned with getting to the rim and getting driving kicks. They were really settling for threes, I thought, especially in the third quarter. They also had six turnovers in that third quarter, like you mentioned, only six in the game for the Pacers. Yeah. They just tend to default to a three-pointer a lot of the times, and I feel like Tatum was getting away from the driving game. We saw some good stuff from Jaylen Brown early on, but the drives kind of just petered out for the Celtics, and they were content to bomb away from outside. They didn't have it going. They finished 12 for 41, so they just completely got outshot in this game. They should be able to have a big enough advantage over a team like the Pacers that they don't have to get into a shooting match. Yeah. But that's the thing with the Celtics. They are so tilted towards offense, especially when Porzingis is missing. They need him to be on the court to be at their absolute best. And, you know, foul trouble, picking up an injury here and there, that's going to be a question mark for Boston.
Yeah, and you brought up while we were watching it, just to help their defense as well. Just to,
they can't get stops if he's not playing.
Yeah, the Pacers were comfortable going to the rim. And shout out to Aaron Nesmith, who was their best player off the bench.
Great game.
And what he's done to his game. He was a rotation player for the Celtics, and then he kind of disappeared for the Celtics. And then in this offseason, he became a guy who could put it on the floor and get to the rim. He really developed. Apparently, it was with Lloyd Pierce. Him and his assistant coach, they worked together at dribbling and getting to the rim, and he became a new player. And so his four threes off the bench, good 6 for 10 overall. I'm looking at Benedict Mathurin's four threes, but they took Aaron Nesmith out of the three-point shot, and he hit 6 for 10 from the floor. That was big. So many guys just chucking from the three-point line. We were all surprised. Miles Turner didn't start well, but he hit a couple. Buddy hit four. Mm-hmm. Haliburton hit five, and Mathurin hit four. They're just chucking.
Yeah, and the thing I like about Nesmith, too, I know the Pacers are not known for defensive stops, really. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But he gets at it. He gets up on guys. And I like him and Bruce Brown as that duo. They're a little manic out there, at least sort of bring up the defensive intensity. And TJ McConnell, too. I know you look at his box score. It's definitely not going to wow you. But we watched the game, and he was making plays. He gets that crowd all hyped. Yeah. I thought he was a bit of a difference maker, too. Any other random notes on Celtics-Pacers, our first game of the knockout round?
Yeah, we saw Luke Kornet catch two alley-oops.
Yeah, we did.
In the first half of this game. And the stream team over on Playback nicknamed them Corn on the Lob. Which is really, really good. And then, yeah, Nesmith was hyped for this game. He took a charge at one point, got up and flexed for getting knocked over, hit Derek White with the two small, and then he had basically the dagger dunk to end things as well. So that's how you do a revenge game.
Yeah, against his old team for sure. Did anybody end up cutting together all the Luke Kornet highlights to and putting it to Korn's Freak on a Leash? Do we know if that happened yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
We were talking about that on Playback. Tyrese Halliburton's dad was getting a lot of airtime, rightfully so. Had the cool, you like the merch that he was rocking there, that blue.
I love it. I didn't know if arenas would be supporting this in a wrong way with just cheap t-shirts, because that's what it seemed like in the Kings game. But I think it's John Halliburton. Yep. His pops look great. He looked cool.
was pumped.
And obviously, that entire arena, was going. And to see all those people do it. And then it was cool at the end. Tatum looked like he was going to take over there with the 2 minutes left, hit that jumper that a superstar hits.
Yep.
And then Halliburton responds with a couple things there. So it was just an entirely supported game by that crowd. It was really fun.
One comment I saw going around, taking a shot at the Celtics: have to give Silver credit. The IST definitely had a playoff atmosphere, complete with a Celtics collapse. Oh, man, that's low. That's low, man. But it did have that. It's sort of true.
This is what the Celtics look like when they lose.
Yeah.
They miss a lot of threes.
Yeah, that's true. They sort of started trying to play the Pacers game, and they got the best of them there last night. Anything else from this one?
No, I wonder how healthy Porzingis is. Because they're keeping him out just because his calf is injured. So week to week, It's the old thing we've talked about with Kristaps Porzingis, and he missed playing for Latvia this summer. Just hopefully he can get back healthy. He did look cool with his jean jacket. Dark blue, very dark blue.
Yeah, not worn a lot yet.
Looked a little stiff.
Yeah,
I need to wash it or at least wear it. One thing I do love about the in-season tournament, as soon as your team loses, you get to turn around and go, well, good, we don't want to be playing another game in the regular season. Especially if you're a team like the Celtics who have championship aspirations. I saw a little bit of that going around. Oh, good. Good, you know, more guys won't get injured in Vegas. You know, they don't have to play an 83rd game, hypothetically, if they made the finals.
Five nights off and yeah. six nights or something
yeah,
like
good.
That.
Good, we threw it. Don't want it.
Yeah, we didn't care anyways. Yeah. I hate Vegas.
It is
sort of do. Can't blame them for
it's colder
that.
Than you would think right now.
It is a regular season game. I think it's easy to forget.
Yeah,
it seems
it
like
is. It really is.
Yeah, totally
easy to forget that
because they could screw up and just put them in this separate tournament.
Yeah,
that would increase their regular season games. That wouldn't be good. But I heard Stan Van on the second game say that $50,000 for each Indiana Pacer. Or he said $50,000 for the Pacers. Just because they won and went to the semifinals,
so, yeah,
I guess
it goes – it like the money you get increases
yeah,
with every win.
With each Makes game, sense. With each – go from the quarterfinals to the semifinals. Stan Van was excited. I guess some of the Pacers were excited. Okay. Well, I guess John Halliburton was excited.
Same, I don't know.
There you go, 50K.
John Halliburton was pumped.
I mean, it is sort of cool that Halliburton has become the spokesman for the in-season tournament. And it's like – sort of the perfect type of player. Like, he's super charismatic. He obviously hasn't had playoff success, so you love to see that. He's in the small market, and he has turned into, like, a bona fide MVP candidate right now. Like, you know, whatever. Wherever you have him, top seven, top five, top three. I mean, it's sort of a perfect storm here. I know Silver in the NBA, they would like the Lakers there. They would maybe like a Knicks fan base there. I'm talking about Vegas. But I like this. I like having at least... well, maybe two if you want to count the Pelicans. Having a couple Cinderellas there is good for this, too, I think. Especially the way the guy talks about this. Like, it is a big deal for the inaugural run. You agree, TK?
I absolutely agree. He's very telegenic, charismatic. He gave that hilarious interview where he's like, I don't want to be a loser anymore.
Yeah,
they care, man. They completely care. And this game, I see, according to Hoopsype, that for team salaries, Indiana is at the very bottom in payroll. So no surprise that they are giving it their all in this tournament.
Sure.
It actually matters a ton. Every single win to the guys at the end of their bench who were going nuts
yeah.
in that last minute.
Yeah, and the NBA must love Halliburton. He also wants to care about the All-Star game. He said last year's yeah. All-Star game sucked. He literally said that. An All-Star of the NBA. That was his first appearance saying on that podcast, showing up. He wants every one of these tentpole events. It's funny calling these tentpole events.
Yeah, it takes me back to the starters
yeah,
days, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. That's what they're calling
it. Put it on the calendar. Nora, I'll be traveling. Got another tentpole coming up. All right, let's move to the second game last night. Brandon Ingram leading the Pelicans past the Kings 127-117. So they advance to Vegas. They go to the semifinals. And Sacramento gets bounced. Their third straight loss. Trey Kirby to the Pelicans seem to have their number. But what were your takeaways from this one?
Too small.
Mm.
Kings were looking a little small against the gigantic Pelicans team. Like, Brandon Ingram, he's a skinny dude, but he's still 7 feet tall for the most part. Domantas Sabonis looks big against most other big guys, but he is dwarfed by Jonas Valanciunas. Watching those dudes smash into each other was hilarious. Going way back on their Lithuanian teams, I'm sure they have elbowed each other in the chest a lot of times, and it was happening a ton last night. But this game, not quite as intriguing as our first game, because I thought this game was really won in the first half. In the last 3 minutes of the first quarter, first 2 minutes of the second quarter, New Orleans was a plus 15. Basically, when Trey Murphy, Jose Alvarado, and Najee Marshall
yeah.
checked in, they really amped up the intensity for the Pelicans. They were running. They were forcing turnovers. The Kings were a little lackadaisical with the ball in the first half. 10 turnovers. Fox had 4 in the first quarter. They were just a little bit out of sorts. And so they were playing behind for the entirety of the second half, it seemed like to me, the Kings. They got some really good shots. Herter had a lot of really open looks. They couldn't convert enough of them. And Ingram just made enough plays, and the Pelicans got enough contributions from basically everybody outside of Zion, though he was a decent passer, I thought, last night. The Pelicans are getting a lot healthier right now. This
yeah.
is like the most healthy they've been the entire season, and you can see why they're confident in their team, because they got a great performance up and down the entire roster. Six players in double digits, and that's including Zion only having 10.
Yeah, and missing Larry Nance Jr., but I agree. They look a lot deeper when you have all these guys back. It was something we talked about, I guess, on Monday's show when we gave them a winner of the weekend with Trey Murphy returning over the weekend. He had another decent game, obviously hitting threes, but what do you think of the Pels?
Definitely their depth was the biggest factor. Rob Pelinka said the Lakers may be the deeper team preseason. And Stan Van last night said, I think the Pelicans are the deepest team. And when they are healthy, they were the leader of the Western Conference standings last year, December. And then they kind of fell apart with injuries with Zion. And I think that's why he's taken on a lesser of a role just to get everybody involved. And they've all come back healthy. As you said, the first quarter was big. I thought the Kings, you know, me being dumb, I thought, all right. They are joining the Las Vegas semifinals. They look good. They were up 14 to start this game.
Yeah, they hit 12 of their first 14 shots.
They're hot.
Yeah.
And then the Pelicans bench came in and changed things. We talked about T.J. McConnell. Jose Alvarado was the T.J. McConnell in this game. He had the broadcaster using his Grand Theft Alvarado nickname.
Yep.
Shocking. Trey Murphy, three baskets in that first quarter off the bench. That Herb Jones tip in. I love that. That was Pelicans coach Willie Green calling him in with a second and a half left in the first quarter to line up for a free throw. It wasn't his free throw. He's lining up. He just comes in basically to try and tip in a missed free throw. They didn't miss it on purpose. Trey Murphy didn't miss it on purpose, but Herb Jones just tipped it in and they were inspired. So other guys, you know, deep on the roster like Jordan Hawkins, Dyson Daniels, they don't play because you have so many deep players that just know how to play the game, and they came through like everywhere. CJ McCollum, who's also come back, 7 assists. Ingram, look at the board, 6 assists. Zion, 6 assists. Herbert Jones, 6 assists, or 5 assists, excuse me. So like between those, 24 assists, just four guys really helping out.
There was a couple gorgeous possessions too, the ball just not sticking at all, it was just pinging around. I thought Ingram played such a great game. Like, just making the right play most of the time. Took over when he needed to there in the second half. Scored 17 of his 30 after halftime, but he had the 8 boards and 6 assists. Again, just not, like, forcing anything. I think, like when I see these Ingram games, I'm always like, oh, God, this guy is the most underrated guy in the league because of where he is, maybe playing alongside Zion. It's a market and a team that a lot of people don't watch. You know, I know he has stinkers, though, too, but when you see Ingram at his best, you're like, this guy is... he's something special because he has that Durant, that Tatum-like quality where he can sort of get whatever shot he wants. Just played perfectly. And they played a great game. They shot 54% from the field, 45% from deep. And they got contributions from basically all their starters and then all these bench guys coming in. Really good game. Really good game. And, you know, I think they're going to be a tough challenge to whoever they play, be it the Suns or the Lakers. I think this will be a fun game, actually, there in that game that starts at a more normal time in Vegas.
9 o'clock local. Right?
Well, 6 o'clock local.
Oh, yeah. 6 o'clock.
9 o'clock for us.
Time zones, man. But anyway, a little more normal. Yeah. Get a little dinner in you and then watch some basketball. Anything else, though, TK? Or thoughts on Ingram, like I was talking about that?
Yeah, Ingram, to me, he's a bit of a taller DeRozan. That's where he just falls in his career. When he looks awesome, he looks great. But he takes so many twos that sometimes he can be an inefficient player. Sometimes he's a great playmaker. I thought he was last night. But like you're saying, he basically played a perfect game. And I would be a little confident if I'm the Pelicans going forward, because they've got better size and they've got better depth than both the Lakers and the Suns. Those teams are more experienced, certainly. And I guess, you know, all three of the teams would be as healthy as they possibly can be outside of Bradley Beal going forward. So should be an interesting one after tonight.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing, though, that they took care of the Kings three times in like 3 weeks, essentially.
That's tough to do.
But they are bigger. You know, yeah. Zion is being guarded by Harrison Barnes, so they just kind of doubled each and every time. Valanciunas is a lot larger and taller than Domantas in the middle. So they come in and do their thing, especially with their depth now. The fact that these guys are all healthy.
And some shooters.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
They hit 14 threes. I think that's the second most triples they've hit all season.
Yeah.
Like, that was their Achilles, right?
Yeah, they needed Trey Murphy to come back.
Yeah.
And McCollum is starting to look more healthy. They just got to keep it up. Because last year, as I said, they were first in the Western Conference. And then things fell apart. Mm-hmm. And people were saying this team could be the one. When they are healthy, obviously, they're going to give everybody a challenge. TBD. But it's great to see a small market team, because we know that the Lakers are going to be a favorite going in, and whether it's the Bucks or the Knicks, a huge fan base going in. It's cool to see New Orleans in there.
Yeah. The Kings got this to within, I guess, six, right? Midway through the fourth quarter. So it wasn't like a blowout victory here, even though the Pelicans sort of kept them at bay. But I think New Orleans ripped off like nine straight when it got that close. JV hit that jump hook shot over Barnes. Oh, yeah. That was a nice pass from Ingram. Yeah. Finding the big guy down there. Great positioning. Had the size. Too easy. Then Trey Murphy hit a three with the shot clock winding down. And then Ingram and Jones got to the line. I mean, Herb Jones also. Yeah, we didn't really talk about him much. He had a great game for them, too. I think season high in terms of points. What do you think of the Trey Lyles, Jonas Valanciunas dust up there? I guess Trey got the... He got the tech. That was it. They went and looked at it, and there was a big talk of, like, did he throw a punch?
A little.
Was it? I thought it was more of a punch than not. He didn't connect, and JV didn't care at all.
True. Yeah, exactly. That's probably why. They're like, Valanciunas, what are you going to do against this guy? He's part of the Dangerous Knights crew. You can't take him down. But, you know, they let Trey Lyles get away with a little bit of a punch. I forget who... almost wrapped up Jason Tatum around the shoulders. They let that one go, too. Yep. A little extra physicality on IST knockout night one.
Yeah, some guys you don't talk about as much. I feel like Jrue Holiday could have had a way better game in that first game, and things would have been a lot different. And even Zion in this game, he only shot eight times. He only played 27 minutes. Willie Green is doing a good job of keeping the minutes down when he needs to, not playing in the back-to-back, so he stays healthy in these games. But I thought that was going to be a fight. I thought that was literally going to be a throwdown. We'll see you in Vegas for the undercard or whatever. But it was all right. I thought there wasn't... Even though there was a lot of fouls, free throws in this game, I should say.
Oh, the first half was... There was no flow to this game.
No flow.
I mean, just it started okay, yeah, because the Kings couldn't miss. And then it was just, foul, foul, foul. Turnover, turnover, turnover. It was not a pretty... first half. I think they cleaned it up a little bit there in the second, but did you see at halftime, just to speak a little bit more on Zion, did you see what like Chuck and Shaq and Kenny were talking about? They were literally like just talking about, watch Zion Williamson, he never runs. They had like a running counter for Zion Williamson. Like they were like shitting on him, like, you know, like not in shape or like whatever, the effort's not there. It was just like, it was a little strange in the context of this game when the team's like looking okay. And I don't know, I thought it was a little much. But I guess keep your eye on it.
Yeah, he didn't have a great game.
No, he
didn't. I thought he looked more ridiculous on defense, to be quite honest. There was, like, one play where, like, he steps out to guard Fox, and then Fox, like, shifts his shoulder one little tiny inch forward, and Zion's just like, all right, see ya.
Bye.
Go ahead. To the rim if you'd like. He was not giving much on the defensive end, that's for sure.
My other final note is... big fan of the Kings crowd with the Keegan Murray chant when he hits a three or does something big, and they do the Keegan, and then the crowd sort of in return says Murray. Just sounds awesome, and they were committing to it well there in the in-season tournament.
He had a nice game.
Any other notes?
Yeah, he looked good. Malik Monk obviously contributing off the bench as well. Five threes for him, four threes for Keeg. I was just questioning the NBA in-season tournament T-shirts.
Yeah, we weren't a fan of those. They're pretty basic.
I'm okay with the players wearing them pregame, warming up with them, but the fans need more. They deserve more.
Well, it's a quick turnaround, I guess. I mean, when did they find out they were going to be hosting a game? I'm just.
Oh, come on.
Like last Tuesday, right?
Yeah
I guess.
Time.
Yeah.
You got a week.
Well, they didn't know. They had. Tuesday. They had to beat the Warriors. Then they had to know whether they were going to have home court. I'm just trying to.
They just look real simple.
They're very simple.
Very simple.
Beyond simple. And
well,
so, and
what
so
would you have
players.
Liked? You got any ideas?
Honestly, just the players' font size looked better.
Oh, well, I mean, those are generic too, though.
It's super generic, but
just the text where it literally says.
I'm looking at their font. They have higher aspirations, so it's fine for them.
Yeah.
The NBA Finals—that's what they're aiming for. This one can be basic for the players. I don't know. That was just the plainest thing. The towels were better. In the first game.
Mm.
Give him a towel.
You like a towel.
I don't know why.
Well, a t-shirt can be a towel.
Yeah.
When used correctly.
Great point.
Because I never
become towels.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I never put on those shirts generally because they're like triple XL. Yeah. So it's more of a around the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still with the team. And then, you know, give it that.
Wow.
That's a lot of garbage, though. It's a lot of garbage, those shirts. Who's going to wear a blue Kings in-season tournament shirt after they lost?
Now it's
just garbage.
Now it's garbage.
Yeah. Now they're towels.
Yeah, throw it in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a
armor all your windshield.
That's exactly right. It's a rag. It's almost a rag.
Yeah, it's more
towel.
Of a rag. Yeah. Even worse.
Okay. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look ahead to tonight's two other quarterfinal games between the Knicks and the Bucks, Suns and Lakers. We'll look at these new in-season tournament trophies and medals, a lot to dissect there, and a couple big picture questions about the iced tea. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate that. A couple great comments here from the stream team. Patty Mills was the towel MVP. He was really good at waving a towel.
Good point.
Shout out to Petey Pablo. Right? Twist around your hand, spin it like a helicopter. And still with the... with a fascinating comment. Milwaukee, tonight, obviously hosting an in-season tournament game. Milwaukee needs to hand out Cream City rags.
Yeah, they do.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Offside, but I like it.
It's a little offside. Free cum rags to the first 5,000 people in attendance. Okay, so let's look ahead to that game and Suns Lakers. Tass, why don't you get started? I'm going to lump these together. So pick both, pick one. One thing you're watching for in tonight's, again, either Knicks Bucks or Suns Lakers.
Well, the problem with the Lakers, depending on who they face, is size. That is the thing. But against the Suns, it shouldn't necessarily be a problem. So I'm going to be watching that, and I'm going to be watching LeBron want to go to Vegas. I think LeBron is going to play his best game tonight. I'm lining it up. I just think that he's had this on the schedule, on the calendar, looking forward to playing. But this is a good rivalry versus the Suns. It's just a great matchup. They've already played a tight game in the IST that the Lakers did win, so it has given them home court advantage. So yeah. I'm just looking forward to everything that happens there after the Bucks game, where I hope it's sold out. I truly hope it's sold out. I just looked it up, and apparently it's only $34 to get into the lower bowl.
Still,
let's do it. Let's rival
Cream City rags for everyone. grab me an extra one. okay, so you think the Lakers with that matchup? You still this would be like the Pelicans, what they did to the Kings. Mm-hmm. If the Lakers win this, that would be their third victory over the Suns early this season. Right. Though Booker didn't play in the first two games, so there is that to note. He's obviously one of their best players, one of the best players in the league. What about you, TK, with these ones?
Yeah, I think. With regards to Suns-Lakers, it's got to be an Anthony Davis game for L.A. He's their biggest advantage, him against Nurkic, basically, so far in the two wins. One great game for Anthony Davis and one okay game in those Ws. But the Lakers are only 3-6 when Anthony Davis scores under 20 points. So that's something I'm watching. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, they need to generate some free throws because Phoenix is second in free throw rate. They'll probably get there. LA, fourth in free throw rate. We know that the Lakers are not a great three-point shooting team, so that's a place where they can kind of make something back efficiency-wise because Phoenix is a lot better at threes. They're fifth in three-point percentage. LA is 28th, and they're 26th in three-pointers allowed. So Phoenix doesn't take a ton of threes, but when they do, they make them because they got KD, Grayson Allen, Eric Gordon, and Devin Booker basically shooting 40%. So somebody from the Lakers is really going to have to get hot to keep him in this game, I think.
I love the AD call. You know, how he plays probably will determine whether they go to Vegas. He's on a good run right now, Anthony Davis. Over his last three games, he's averaging basically 29-15, 3 assists per game, a steal, round up to 3 blocks, almost never turns the ball over, shooting 55%. Like, that's, I mean, really, really good, again, over his last three games. That was against Detroit, though, OKC, and Houston. So, you know, some decent teams, some bad teams there. But, yeah, we'll see how he does against Nurkic. And what about the other one?
Yeah, sorry, you know, and just that the Lakers have got a lot of their defensive help back recently, just have been a lot healthier. Jared Vanderbilt finally right. played his first game. He can go on anybody. You're going to see him against Kevin Durant and try and guard him. He is a long player. Cam Reddish is back. He has helped out, and Rui Hachimura is healthy enough to come back. He still missed the last game, but ready to go. So the fact that their defense will help out against the Suns.
Yeah, I guess four guys on the injury report probable for tonight's game are Anthony Davis, Rui, LeBron, and Vanderbilt, but I imagine all four of those guys will play in this. Let's get some predictions on this one. Are you going Suns or Lakers to go to Vegas? By the way, I filled out that bracket on NBA.com. Yeah. My two teams in the finals were the Sacramento Kings and the Boston Celtics. So, bracket busted. Like, it's March here. Hey, that's what happens in a one-game situation. But tonight, who do you have winning that game?
I got the Suns.
Okay.
Yeah, I think their three-point shooting will take them over the top. It's hard to beat the same team three times in a row. And if Devin Booker's playing, Phoenix has a good shot.
Yeah, it's great to see Book did come back in their last game, dropping a cool 34, no problem. But I will take the Lakers in that they have a lot of defenders to throw at Booker and to throw at Durant. It's going to be fun, though.
And because you want to know who I'm taking so you can fade me, I'm also with Trey. I think the Suns actually get it done here tonight. Yeah, it's a big uh-oh. And then just quickly, Bucks, Knicks-Bucks. Something to watch, or at least who you're taking in this one.
You know what? It feels like I'm sitting in the NBA offices thinking they're going to be asking people to bet on those brackets.
Well,
soon.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, that's all they're
going
to
do. I mean, they
already
are.
They probably already are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they're loving this. Yeah. This is exactly why do you think people care about March Madness?
So let's get
it's the betting.
Let's get people losing. Who's going to lose that game?
Tonight?
Yeah, who do you think's going to win? Because you got to fade you.
Yeah, fade me. Yeah. I think the Bucks are going to win. So, but, you know, the Knicks are scrappy. I think they match up okay.
Oh, their defense looks fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Tibbs got them working. They do look good. But, yeah, I'm taking the Bucks as well.
All right, I'm on the Knicks then.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy. I don't know how they even made it out of their round, but I picked it before they started the tournament, so why not? Milwaukee 19th in defensive rebound rate. That's not very good. New York 2nd in offensive rebound rate, so I will be watching Mitchell Robinson. He's been doing a good job of staying out of foul trouble this season. It's career low foul rate for him. He's leading the league in offensive rebound rate. He's a big-time difference maker, especially considering the Bucks are a gigantic team with Giannis and Brook inside. So if Robinson's able to stay on the court, New York's got a shot.
Yeah, good. I didn't read it, or I didn't believe, I should say, the Knicks' defensive numbers, but somehow Fred Katz has written about at The Athletic that Tom Thibodeau has them working. Jalen Brunson is on pace for like 140 charges drawn this season, would be the new record. He's just falling when people hit him, and it's smart. He just
140
runs it.
That's, charges?
I was just like doing the math in my head, like two off, charges a game almost?
Yeah, yes, exactly. 140 charges drawn. You know who the all-time...
Oh, yeah, what's the record?
It's like 129, surprisingly. It's a lot.
All-time
Do we?
Leader.
Can we get it? Is
yeah,
it Lowry?
Well,
it's not Lowry.
It's not Lowry. No, somebody did a great
Derek
job.
Fisher?
No, it's a big...
It's
that
big.
when I say no, Kevin Love's a good guess. Well, it's somebody that hasn't played in a while, is retired retired for a while, but you notice his hair flopping around when he falls out.
Vergeau.
Wow.
Nice one.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about
the hair helped him, probably.
Yeah, totally.
Get a lot of charges called. Yeah. Okay, that's something to watch for. Brunson, how many charges does he take tonight? You know you can bet on that. Yeah. What's the over-under? I guess you're telling me it must be set at like 2.5 or something.
Yeah, so it's charges drawn. Like a pick hitting him is also counts as a whistle. Like somebody's setting out when he is on defense.
Right, okay.
We are literally almost counting how many times does he fall down and get a whistle in his team's favor.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. That's what it's called. Maybe.
All right. Let's hear your predictions. Knicks, Bucks, Suns, Lakers. Who's going to Vegas tonight? Let us know there in the stream team. Yesterday, the NBA unveiled the lineup of trophies for the inaugural in-season tournament. Let's look at these. We got a closer look at the gold NBA Cup. We've seen this one, but we know some more facts about it. It's 23 inches tall. Mm-hmm. You know what that represents?
Michael Jordan.
Nope.
Oh.
Year 2023.
Okay.
The start of the IST. Let's look at the IST MVP trophy awarded to the most valuable player in the in-season tournament. As Trey noted on Twitter, looks like a dream mail organizer.
Come on. You put your envelopes in the top slots and your magazines in the hole in between at the bottom?
It's nice. I see it.
Each, they, wouldn't they follow those magazines? Oh, you're putting them right at the bottom.
Yeah, like in between.
Like a lean, yeah.
It looks like a burrito to me. Like, I just want to bite it.
Each player on the in-season tournament championship team is going to get medals, guys. I mean, this is a custom that's typically followed across basketball tournaments.
Cool.
Like events worldwide.
Yeah.
NBA in-season tournament champions etched on the front of the medal along with the year. And then finally, following the end of the tourney, a panel of media members will select an in-season tournament all-tournament team consisting of the five most outstanding players throughout the competition. And these guys will receive a solid black crystal bowling ball that apparently weighs about 20 pounds. So it's got some weight to it.
That's 20 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So watch it. Watch your toes. Thoughts on all of the hardware that we saw there yesterday. Trey, what do you think?
20 pounds, man. That's. I'm worried somebody's going to drop it now. That thing will shatter like crazy. I like the cup, the medals, and the ball.
Okay.
The MVP trophy kind of looks like a kitchen utensil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It looks a little weird. But I like that they have it. I like that it exists in general. Yeah, like the medals are cool. We're like, they should have something wearable. They got something wearable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did pretty good with the cup. I totally agree. I like the name of it, NBA Cup. I think they're trying to internationalize it, this thing, make it more like football, like soccer. The FA Cup that they win, but it's 23 inches tall.
Yep.
Is it going to grow every year as we get to
2023? I don't think so. It's just going to be that inaugural year. Okay. JD, do you have any thoughts on the hardware?
I like them all, actually.
Yeah.
Probably because they have a major Star Wars vibe to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this just thing screams Star Wars.
Sure.
It definitely reminds me of the interrogator droid.
Oh, wow.
This guy.
Yeah, I see it.
Right?
Yep.
Yes.
And then the medals.
Yeah.
It's like Han Solo. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker get medals at the end of episode 4. Chewbacca did not get one for some reason. Yeah.
Snub.
Big time snub.
Big snub.
Yeah.
I heard that Rachel Nichols didn't vote for Chewbacca. And Hubie.
Wow.
Hubie Brown was the only vote for Chewbacca.
Incredible. Incredible. But when you get a, when there's a closer look, it, I mean, this is the Jedi. This is what the rebellion gives out.
Okay.
But the actual ones, they kind of look like the Imperial medals, like the bad guys.
Uh-oh.
I mean, they're close, totally. Right?
Hey, right.
I do like across all of the hardware here. I don't love the MVP trophy. It's just a little weird. But like, I do like the colors, like the gold and black, mm-hmm. and the shininess.
Looks great.
It looks cool. So we'll see if they I don't know how they react when they're handed these. You know, be it LeBron or Halliburton.
Like this.
Well, okay, the medals, yes. But I mean the others. I just mean, are they going to be pumped about this? It feels like some of these teams will be, and hopefully they are.
Are they going to have comedy or like a novelty-sized checks as well? Like silver comes out with 15, $500,000 checks.
Oh, that'd be great.
You get one. I do wonder if this is them tipping their hands about what the environment's going to look like once we get to the knockout stage. Everything is black and gold.
I think so.
Makes sense with Vegas as well.
Yeah. I think the court's going to have exactly all that. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll be... the stripe will be either gold or black, whatever way they go. Yeah. Okay, speaking of MVP, though, who's going to get that crazy trophy? Who is your in-season tournament MVP so far, Tass? Do you have a list? Do you have a guy?
No, I didn't put a list together. I got to be entirely honest here.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, this is kind of a good number here because I don't think LeBron James will be favored at this point because he is turning 39, but he could win this thing. So I'm going to go with LeBron.
Okay, he would be on the short list, of MVPs right now. But I think the list is probably LeBron, Durant, probably Damian Lillard. And then Halliburton, of course. He's at the top.
What about my friend Giannis?
Yeah, he
could do it.
He's in the mix, of course. Yeah.
He's not my friend. But anyway, I hope he's my friend. I wish he was my friend. But he's got to be up there. They're going to get to the semifinals. It's going to be – they're going to – or Dame could even do it.
Yeah. Halliburton is averaging 28 points per game, 5 boards, 13.5 assists, with 5 three-pointers made per game. These are in the in-season tournament games. Mm-hmm. With shooting splits of 51, 46, and 88, and the Pacers are 5-0. He's probably the leader in the clubhouse, but those other superstars, I think, of course, have a chance to get this.
Yeah, I saw that NBA.com literally has an IST MVP ladder.
Really?
Yeah, it was
who's
updated.
Doing it? Who's doing it? Powell or Ashburn?
It was neither. Oh. I didn't recognize the name.
A Martin?
I don't know. Okay, I wasn't checking the bylines that intensely. I just made the notes of the stats here.
Okay.
The 1 and 2 were Halliburton and LeBron. Halliburton, okay. You said his stats. He obviously had a triple-double in game 1 of the knockout last night. LeBron in group play, 25 points per game, 8 rebounds, 7.5 assists. He's shooting 60% from the field, 17 for 18 in the restricted area, and 14 of 24 from 3. He's the Western Conference MVP, I think, so far, and then Halliburton is the Eastern Conference MVP. And we'll see how far LeBron goes.
So here's a real question. Because Booker missed some of those in-season tournament group play games, if Booker has an incredible game tonight, semifinals, leads the Suns to a championship, will the voters or whoever, determines this, Silver and his Skims, I don't know, will they give more weight to the knockout games than the group play games? Because apparently they're all folded in here. You would have to assume so, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
So Halliburton, that definitely helps his case with the trip dub there in one of the knockout games. All right.
I didn't know that these stats existed. Oh, yeah. I just thought they were like a play-in tournament thing where eventually they'll be on. I mean, you can just do the math and figure it out. They've played in 4 games.
Well, the one thing we brought up on playback last night is what happens with the stats for the final game? That mysterious game 83. Because these stats, of course, count to the regular season.
Right.
But will that 83rd game that those two teams play? Like, if somebody goes for...
I think so. I
think, like, 80 points in the finals, like, is it going to count?
Like, last year, wasn't that the year that Mikal Bridges played in 83 games just because he was traded?
Yeah, that happens. You're right. And that does count to their
through
the
stats.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Probably. Schumann, are you out there?
Let us know.
Michael Wright, he does the ladder.
Yeah, it was Matthew Peterson did the IST ladder.
Wow.
I mean, you could have told me it was Cute Steve doing it, and I would have...
he's doing the knockout rounds.
One more question. I saw this on ESPN. I thought it was a fun one. Trey, we'll start with you if you've got an answer here. What's one thing about the in-season tournament that you would change? I mean, we are big fans. We're loving this so far, but is there something you would change moving forward?
The name.
Okay.
Number one for me is the name. It's fun to say IST, but in-season tournament just feels like a placeholder.
Yeah. It does.
I think that's a big NBA one. Cup will... be what
Why
it becomes?
Not just NBA Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, WNBA calls their in-season tournament the Commissioner's Cup.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not trying to do exactly the same, but you're playing for the NBA Cup.
The Silver Cup sounds sort of cool, too.
Yeah, but it's gold.
Damn it. How about the Skims Cup?
See, that might be the thing. Maybe they're just saving the name for a sponsorship, which is too bad. How about just the Tip-Off Classic? It's early in the season.
I like classic. Yeah, I don't know about tip off.
Yeah, you're right. It's not totally the tip off.
I totally agree.
So name change. I think most people would agree with that. I think we will get there too. It'll either just happen naturally, or sponsor or something.
Yep. Yeah, it's the soccer effect. They just want it to be like the FA Cup. Let's just do it. Just throw a cup. And that's why they've done pretty well with the NBA trophy here, the trophy for the winner, because it's unlike the finals trophies, and it just has such a simple name. I'm glad they didn't name it after some random player, and it's just going to be a cup.
Like, well, it's eventually going to be the Halliburton MVP or something like that. Yeah.
They're going to have to make it 0 inches tall because he's number 0.
Let me throw a couple things that some of our friends at ESPN thought might be decent changes. So Tim McMahon, again of ESPN, he wrote, "As someone who believes sportsmanship is the most overrated thing in sports, I'm all for running up the score. However, for the sake of attempting to keep the peace, the league should probably cap the point differential benefits for each game. Maybe put 15 points as the maximum to prevent the awkwardness of intentionally hacking a bad free throw shooter midway through the fourth quarter of a blowout." That's McMahon's idea, because we did see that come up, right? This idea of teams...
Did I write that? hey, it could have happened to anybody.
Of teams running up the score in the group stage. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's something to that, maybe? Or keep it the way it is because it's hilarious.
Okay, so that was my second more serious suggestion. It was something along the same lines. I think there should be more games in the group stage because we ended up having 7 teams finish 3-1 and only 4 of those teams moved on. So the point differential night, that was last Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, but also pretty weird, to be quite honest, which then leads to the Celtics hacking Drummond and having to apologize to the coach, but then also the Celtics getting mad that Buddy Hield took a three at the buzzer last night. Like, you can't have it both ways. And the way of the NBA for the first 76 seasons has been the unwritten rule of don't run up the score at the end of the game. So I do think there's something to play with there.
What about a twist? What about almost ditching the point differential and replacing the tiebreaker mechanism with quarter wins? Like, you're actually playing to win each quarter.
Interesting.
Where then it's not so much like, oh, we got to win by 35. It's just, you got to win the quarter. And that would probably reduce, like, these crazy, like, you're up by a ton, but, oh, we got to be up by more to hopefully get in. I think it's something there. Maybe it's a little too convoluted.
Yeah, I think it's a little too convoluted. Too many numbers, I do believe.
Too many numbers, 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's only 4 quarters. Yeah. It's not that
well,
many.
You're sorting 4 numbers rather than just sorting the
point differential. Yeah, I'm just saying you would keep track of, like, winning quarters. Yeah, and that would be the tiebreaker.
So there's going to be an assistant coach that says, hold on, we won three of these quarters.
It would be like, hey, guys, we got to win this quarter.
Quarter differential.
Yeah, I don't know.
QD.
I think there's a little tweak to maybe reduce that awkwardness.
They're thinking about that last night and reducing the awkwardness of it, for sure. And the increase in games totally would reduce that, just because the records would mean more.
Yeah, I sort of push back on... I get what you're saying, because, we had a bunch of teams that were 3-1, and then it got into point differential. But, like, Bontemps, in the same article, he says, wait till we have 32 teams. We talked about this a little bit on Playback last night. Wait till we have 32 teams. That way we could have 8 groups of 4 teams, have everyone play twice, and then we just move to a bigger knockout round. We could expand it to, 16 teams if we really wanted to.
So more games.
Everybody
would play 6 games.
What do you mean?
If there was...
No.
How many groups of 4?
Have everyone play twice. Oh, I guess he is saying, within those groups, play twice. Oh, yeah, I guess he would be saying games, home and home. Yeah, I was thinking more. I was just play each other once still. I just want to get to the knockout. This is the fun. This is the March Madness part.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's just get there earlier and have more teams and see if they can make a Cinderella run or whatever.
But it has been cool because the teams have been into the regular group stage games.
Yeah, they have.
They've been into it, and that's why the NBA is saying, oh, this is good. TV stations are going to pay a little bit more. Advertisers are going to pay a little bit more when we negotiate come March. And so it's going to help. But they shouldn't get mad at players just for shooting the ball. Like yesterday, Buddy Hield shot one at the end, just shot a three because Pacers fans were yelling, shoot it, shoot. They literally were yelling, and that's why Buddy was asked after, why'd you shoot it? Well, the fans were yelling at me to shoot the ball. Why shouldn't I shoot the ball? He turned and he shot and he hit it. Nice shot, Buddy.
He hit his over, too, for three-pointers made.
He did.
Not to bring it back to gambling, but if you had the over 3.5, he helped you out there. The fans helped you out, I guess.
Way to go, bud.
Way to go, bud. And McMenamin had one more thought. He says, the number one seed coming out of group play should be able to pick its opponent instead of automatically facing the fourth-seeded wildcard team in the quarterfinals. Just an idea from Dave there. I don't mind it. I mean, we always like the idea of, like, we've talked about this in the playoffs, right? The idea, the concept of you get to pick who you want to play and how fun that would be. I could see it working here in sort of a lower stakes NBA Cup. Why not?
Good way to try it out.
Yeah, give it a go. All right, we'll take a break. One more. And when we come back, tweet of the night.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, we've talked a lot about the in-season tournament. Let's talk about something else. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, this tweet comes to us from somebody in the NBA family, but it ain't about basketball, hardly at all. Maybe an answer will be about basketball. Mm. Nonetheless, it's from Nate Jones, at Jones on the NBA, who simply tweeted out, "My first enemies," along with a picture of Gargamel and Skeletor. to clarify, Nate is not a Smurf or He-Man, but he's still battling against these guys, and I just thought it was hilarious. Who were the first enemies you had as children?
Yeah, he had a big thread, right? Because he had a Sergeant Slaughter earthquake when he took out Hulk Hogan
and Bison from Street Fighter.
Right. This is good. It was funny. Yep. I've got an answer. One of my first ones that I can remember. The Gorgs from Fraggle Rock.
Oh, the Gorgs.
I used to hate these giant beasts trying to take my Fraggles. Or I guess really trying to get was it the Radishes? Was that was like the currency in this show.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was Radishes. Like, this was like a statement about the world, I guess, here from Jim Henson and the Muppet Gang. But yeah, like, the Fraggles wanted the Radishes, the Doozers wanted, like, those little construction guys, they wanted the Radishes, and then they wanted the Radishes, these Gorgs. But these were like those, you know, 20 feet tall giants. I hated them. I hated those parents, so the king and the queen in the back, so much. Junior was a bumbling idiot. Always reminded me of Timofey Mozgov. But I hated those two in the back. It was my enemies. That's my answer.
That was a great tweet. It did take me back, because I went through all of that thread, and I saw Shredder. Hated it.
Oh, Shredder, yeah. And was it Kang?
Krang.
Krang. Krang?
I didn't mind Krang. The brain? I didn't mind. But Shredder hated. I didn't realize Skeletor was He-Man's opponent, the bad guy in He-Man. Right?
I just forgot.
I was just so happy watching He-Man. I never hated anybody. I forgot Skeletor existed.
Yeah.
I forgot him. I wanted some Sesame Street opponents on there. I wanted Oscar the Grouch. I wanted Snuffleupagus. No, I didn't mind.
What?
No, Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah,
just always hating.
Yeah, he's
one
angry,
of the first
angry
haters
dude.
You encounter.
You didn't like that he didn't compost.
Well, he ate everything.
I think that's true.
He didn't really throw things out, did he?
He ate everything. That's what he did in there.
He's garbage, man.
He was the compost.
Yeah,
I guess.
You just blew my mind. I thought he just lived.
I thought he just lived
can.
Amongst the garbage. Yeah, I didn't realize he maybe.
Yeah, nothing else.
Played his part. Yeah, seems like a cool guy. Changes everything.
You gotta eat sometimes. And he just had garbage laying all around him. So why not? Why not eat garbage?
Do you guys, JD or Trey, have other first enemies to add to this?
I mean, not cartoon. Like my first scary monster was Jaws. My dad took me to see Jaws in the theater when it, like, a week after it came out.
What?
I was like 5. That altered me for life.
No wonder you're such a fast swimmer.
Right?
Yeah.
Dad, get me in the pool.
Yeah, but we were first in line for Jaws 2 when it came out a couple of years later, so I loved it. But I hated that shark.
Hated that darn shark.
How does the first one end?
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Yeah,
he gets blown up. He's chomping on a scuba tank, and Roy Scheider shoots the tank, blows up, and it's in his mouth.
And then, so what's the premise of Jaws 2? There's just another shark?
It's another shark.
It's another always another shark.
It's always another shark.
Okay. What about you?
It's the Decepticons for me.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, I used to pretend to be a transformer, you know, just be out. Look at now I'm a car.
Are you Bruce from Survivor?
That's why I like it. Like that bit so much. Oh, but man, I went on the Transformers Wikipedia today. That's a thing.
Yeah.
The Decepticons are one of the primary factions in the Transformers mythos. They're typically concerned with such things as conquering Cybertron, defeating the Autobots, amassing large quantities of Energon, developing powerful weaponry, and beating people up. Not necessarily in that order.
Wow.
Yeah, these guys.
See,
are
I sort of like
jerks.
I thought they were sort of cool though too.
They were unfortunately
they were
cool.
Badass. Yeah, they're sort of like NWO style. Oh, you're yeah, like this heel faction.
Megatron, come
badass.
On, man. Legend.
All right.
That's why I love going to New Orleans. Sometimes you just see people in their Transformers costumes just on the road, oh, just doing their thing, being extremely talented. Yeah, hopefully they bring them as mascots to Las Vegas. They're great.
All right, great tweet there from at Jones on the NBA. Your first enemies. Let us know there in the comments who you got on your list.
There's some good ones. Freddie and Jason.
Sure.
Mike Tyson from Punch-Out. Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, very
good. Good one.
Rita Repulsa, who I think is maybe a Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Enemy?
Yeah,
yeah. Didn't watch that, really.
Yeah, that probably was a little after your time.
Yeah. Okay.
Not bad.
It's great answers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for today's show. Hopefully a classic. You tell us. 5-star rating and review. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. We're jumping back on playback tonight for Knicks Bucks. 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll go live. Second screen experience for a lot of people here in America, but international league passers, you'll be watching with us there on screen. We had a great turnout last night for the first game. Between the Celtics and Pacers, so hopefully a lot of you come back out tonight and kick it with us. We had a very weird tangent about Adam Silver wearing Skims. Yeah. And we were laughing quite a bit. So we have a blast on playback. That link is in the show notes to join our room. We're nearly 5,000 people in our playback No Dunks room. So get in on the game. Until tonight or tomorrow, here from the Classic Factory, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we appreciate you watching here on YouTube and chiming in with your people that you hated growing up, your opponents. You really boosted my Rita Repulsa watching who you hate. Rita Repulsa. I thought I watched a little of the Power Rangers. I didn't know about
who
Rita.
Is Rita Repulsa. I gotta look Rita this up. How do you spell Repulsa?
R-E-Pulsa.
Just like it sounds.
Okay.
Wow.
Repulsa.
It's boosting my Rita Repulsa.
Oh,
looking at her now.
Oh, that woman. Yeah. So what was she trying to do? Just take their powers?
Yeah, probably.
Or more them. Of their ranger skills.
She always wanted to stop them from morphing.
All right, embrace the day, people.